Thank you, choir. Singing sounded good this morning. Brother Kenny has a special for us, so you'll be prayerful for him as he comes.
Get my nest made here. Had to fix my hair too. I get asked to play, you know, pretty often, and it's I've been kind of slacking on it. I'm getting kind of rusty and kind of arthritic. It's always a blessing for me to get up here and honor my Lord and Savior and try to uplift my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I need to do that every chance I get. Good to see Miss Ginger.
Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil on life's troubled sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. When gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand guiding my ship in safely to land and leading the way to heaven's bright shore where troublesome waters around me do roll, they're rocking my boat and they're wrecking my soul. Loved ones are drifting and living in sin, the treacherous whirlpools are pulling them in. When gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand guiding my ship in safely to land and leading the way to heaven's bright shore where troublesome waters troublesome waters are rolling so high, I lift up my voice and to heaven I cry. Lord, I am trusting, give guidance to me and steady my boat. Gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand guiding my ship in safely to land and leading the way to heaven's bright shore where troublesome waters I'm fearing.
didn't sound rusty. I did a pretty good job. Enjoyed that, Brother Kenny. A little foretaste maybe of what we'll hear tonight. A little more. We'll get another one or two out of them tonight. Any word on anyone's heart before we get into the word? In a moment, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 16. But while you're turning there, several of you asked about our grandbaby. And me and Dawn kind of had a real whirlwind Friday and Saturday. She said afterwards, she says, we got to stop putting so much into such a short period of time. But I was supposed to go to my dad Saturday to help with some work. My brother was coming down from Michigan. I was going to come up and we were going to take care of some things to help out my dad. And I said, well, if we're going to do that, why don't we go to Adams on Friday? Dad's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Adams in Louisville. And I said, we can go up to Adams and see the baby. And for those of you that asked if she's cute, oh, cuter than the last time I saw her. And yes, I have pictures. But enjoyed that with her. I got to hold her for about 2 hours Friday night and about 2 hours before I had to leave Saturday morning. And she was just as good for me as she could, but I said that part of that was because she was laying here and she knew the sound of a good heart when she heard one, so I didn't have any problem there. Went to my dad's, and he had some jobs for us to do. One of them was to switch mattresses off of one bed to from one bed to the other. So we, my brother and I, began that process and put the top mattress in the hallway there and got the other part of the mattress to put in the hallway so we could get the other ones out. And of course, I had to walk backwards and wasn't paying attention. My dad has a stand about this high with a bronze Remington on it of a cowboy on a bucking horse. And, of course, I backed into that. And as I turned to look, you know how things you see things in slow motion sometimes? And I saw the stand and I saw that Remington going this way toward his grandfather's clock. And I thought, oh, no. And I tried to grab it. Fortunately, it didn't hit the glass of the grandfather's clock, but it did put a little scratch on there. The only thing that saved me was the tail of the horse that embedded itself into the drywall and crumbled the wall there. And I felt really bad about that. Until we got to the refrigerator that he wanted us to fix. And my brother jumped right in on that, and I was letting him do the part that Dad got. Of course, he didn't get both parts. There were supposed to be two parts, but one of the bags was empty, and my brother said, well, we'll just put the one on, and we'll get the other one and put it on later. So he did that, and he grabbed the door to open the refrigerator door, and we heard this creaking and cracking, and he said, what is that? And I said, well, I see half of the new part that we just put on the floor. And I said, that's probably got something to do with it. And my dad at that point was saying, boy, I appreciate you guys helping me so much here. I said, well, Dad, the intention was good. And I said, really, we're not here for any of that. We're here to celebrate your birthday. And let's get to the cake and ice cream. And at that point, I was wishing I had put a little bit more in the card than I had. And I said, I'll come back and I'll fix the drywall. And he said, no. He says, I'll take care of that, son. Don't you worry about it. Oh, well, intentions were good. And Dad was 79, we're celebrating his 79th birthday, and glad to be able to do that, and hope the Lord blesses him with many more. And Brother Jack, we're looking forward to next Sunday afternoon. Everybody's been invited to help him celebrate his 90th birthday, and what a blessing that is. So we're looking forward to that. If you've got your Bibles, I want to read from Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read beginning in verse 24. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24. Jesus is speaking here, and it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angel, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I'm going to stop with those few verses. My text verse is going to be the 26th verse again, which said, for what is a man profiteth if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I was struggling with what I wanted to title my message this morning, and I guess I'm just going to title it The Economy. I'm going to entitle it Your Economy. When we think about what the economy is, I think in the most simplest terms, we think of it as the financial system, or maybe the process by which goods and services, you know, they're produced and they're sold and they're bought and they're exported in and they're exported out of the country. And it's how these resources that we have are used. And, you know, because many things can alter our economy, there's always a lot of talk about the economy, and it's a hot topic amongst people. And we're concerned about our national economy, and we're concerned about our own personal economies, our own personal finances. And, you know, as Brother Arzell, I think, mentioned in his prayer, you know, this is an election year, and we're hearing a lot from politicians about how they're going to increase the number of jobs, and we're hearing about how they're going to reduce our national debt, which is, what, $19 trillion? I can't even comprehend what that number is all about. And lots of other proposals on how to improve our economy. You know, we have a tendency to look to those who we consider to be experts, those who are knowledgeable about trends that are going on, and they're able to forecast, and they're able to give us advice on expected changes that are going to take place in our marketplace. And, you know, they watch the stock market, and they watch the price of oil barrels and what all that costs. And, you know, we call those people economists. And I thought, as I was thinking about my message today, I wondered, do we ever think of Jesus as being an economist? Do we ever think about him in those terms? And I thought about, as I was looking in the Bible here, I thought, you know, the gospel gives us many records of what Jesus had to say about the economy. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, well, let me just turn over there and read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is," Jesus said, "there will your heart be also." So Jesus was talking about earthly or temporal investments, and he was comparing them to heavenly or eternal investments. And, you know, Jesus also confirmed in the New Testament, while he was being tempted by Satan, he was confirming the Old Testament teaching to us that man does not live by bread alone. And he used a parable about economic issues over in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. If you'll remember that account, there was a man that, I guess he was a farmer, and God blessed him with a very prosperous year. He was in a dilemma. His barns were too small. He had too many goods to fit the barns, and he came up with a solution. And he said, "I'll just tear down the old barns, and I'll build bigger ones, and I'll build newer ones, and I'll be able to put in all the things that I have been blessed with in my harvest." And he says, and then he says, "I'm just going to take my ease." And he says, "I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry," or in other words, going to be happy in everything that he had. And he didn't give thought to the spiritual side. He was just focused on the physical side of life, and he wasn't focusing on the spiritual side. And those of you that are familiar with that account, you know exactly what Jesus said, because at the end there, God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." So I want you to listen this morning. I want you to hear this, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart. I don't want anyone to be like this man that I just told you about from Luke. I don't want anybody to be like him. I want you this morning to think about your spiritual economy. I want you to think about your spiritual condition this morning. Jesus used many economic terms in my reading that I shared from you in this 16th chapter. You may have noticed as I read, though, he used words like, in terms like save and lose and profiteth and gain and exchange. What does Jesus want us to know? What is his teaching on this spiritual condition of ours, this spiritual economy of ours. And I think he's got some things that he wants us to pay attention to today. So if you will, bear with me for a few moments as I try to share with you what I believe God's got for us. You know, sometimes we think of things in different terms and we're concerned about different things. And I want to say this. It's not that these things over here are not important. They might be very important, but there might be something over here that's more important than what's over here. And we spend all of our time focusing on this instead of what's over here that needs our attention. And the Lord, I believe, wants us to understand that. And, you know, the first thing that I saw in this reading that I gave you this morning was that Jesus, you know, he wants us to speculate. Jesus wants us to contemplate. He wants us to reason. Because, you know, he asked the disciples a question. He said, "For what is a man profiteth if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And I thought, you know, what an interesting speculation that was. Think of the possibilities of gaining the whole world, but then think of the possibility of losing life eternally. And that's where people get confused sometimes. They got the priorities in the wrong place. Gaining the whole world, I don't know about you, but it's beyond my imagination. I can't even comprehend what that would be. But I do know that when I read in Scripture that Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world, Satan offered the Lord himself the glory of them all. But you see, there was a requirement for Jesus to receive those. What did Satan say? Satan said, "You need to fall down and you need to worship me." Thank the Lord that the account that we have in the Word of God tells us that he didn't do that. That didn't happen. The Lord didn't do that. And, you know, there's been powerful men throughout the history of our nation that have tried their very best accomplish all that the world would have. But you know what? It didn't happen for them. And it didn't happen for anybody else. And it's not ever going to happen for anybody else. No one can gain the whole world. No one can gain the whole world. And if you think about that, and if you believe that, then I would have to ask you and say that, isn't it foolish to lose your life for eternity for so little that this world has? But yet people are striving every day to amass more and accomplish more and to have more of what this world has to offer. But you know what? Even if you could gain this whole world, if you could gain everything that this world had to offer, I hope we all realize that everything that this world has to offer is temporary. It's temporary. Both man and this world is in a temporary state. I thought about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. He told us that eventually heaven and earth shall pass away. It's not going to exist. It's not going to be as we know it is. And in James chapter 4 and verse 14, he told us that life is short. Life is a vapor. It told us that it appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. We're like a flower that grows and blooms, but then it withers and dies. That's life. Some are blessed to experience long life. Others experience a much shorter time of life. Life is temporal, no matter how long or how short it is. But the point is that we need to be concerned about what is most important. Be concerned about what's most important. You know, what do you think that people think about when they talk about gaining the whole world? Do they think about happiness? Do they think that if they could gain the whole world or the prosperity of whatever amount that this world has, that that's going to bring them this great happiness? I think you already know this, but the world can never fully, wholly, completely satisfy anyone. This world can't do that. Yes, you can get some enjoyment from the world. And yes, God wants us to enjoy some things of this world, but there's other things that he doesn't want us to enjoy of this world. But those things of the world, they're not going to satisfy. We've been studying in Sunday school from the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we've been studying that, Solomon was considering life from a physical standpoint. And he said it's all vanity. He said it's all vanity. The fame, the wealth, the power, all of those things, they'll soon pass. They're temporary. They won't last. And we shouldn't give ourselves, brothers and sisters, to temporary matters. We shouldn't give ourselves wholly to those things that won't last, to those things that don't have the greater importance. We shouldn't give ourselves to those things. We're made by God. And since we're made by God, our true happiness, brothers and sisters, will never be achieved until we're in the right relationship with Him, our Creator, the one who made us. I wonder this morning, what kind of relationship do you have with God? You don't have to answer right now. You don't have to shout it out. I just want you to ponder that in your heart and your mind. What kind of a relationship do you have with God the Father? You know, a few weeks ago, I preached about that. I titled my message, "It's Not Complicated. It's Not That Hard." And I was talking about salvation, that it wasn't complicated. It wasn't hard to understand what salvation was. It was easy for us to look into God's Word, and we could talk about how that Jesus Christ, He made our reconciliation, how that Jesus made possible that restored relationship and that restored fellowship with God because of what Jesus did. And He wants us to think about this. He wants us to speculate about it. He wants us to contemplate it. He wants us to think about gaining the whole world or putting everything that we have into what this world has and losing our soul. Or He wants us to think about putting our faith and our trust in Him. And I'll tell you, nothing is more important than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Are you saved or are you unsaved this morning? You know, sometimes we don't think about things unless somebody asks us a question. You know, I forget what I was watching the other day, and the person said, "Well, he's not answering. He's not saying anything. Why isn't he saying anything?" And the response was, "Well, he's not saying anything because you didn't ask him anything." Well, I'm asking you this morning, are you saved or are you unsaved? And I want you to ponder that because Jesus wants us to examine ourselves. Jesus wants us to examine our holdings, those things that are important. He wants us to think about who we are. He wants us to think about what we hold in our personal economies, if you will, what we consider to be our treasures. What do you consider to be your most valuable assets? What do you consider to this morning to be your most valuable resources to you? Now, when I ask that question, where did your mind go? Did your mind go to your bank account? Did your mind go to your home or maybe to your car? Did your mind go to maybe your investments or maybe your retirement? Well, I can tell you this morning, I'm not concerned about those things. I hope that you're all set with all that. I hope everything's good in those departments. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. That's not what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about this morning is what Jesus' teachings is on our spiritual economy, our spiritual condition, where we stand in relationship to Him. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And that's what I want you to think about as I try to share with you some more from God's Word. You know, Jesus says we need to think about and we need to consider the worth of a soul. We need to think about that. Every human being has two sides. We got our dust side, and we got our divine side. The dust side is our physical. We all have this physical nature that we're born with. We've all been given this God-given bodies that we have. And within these bodies and within these minds, we do have desires and we have drives about ourselves that move us through this life. And again, many of those are good. Some of them we need to leave alone. But the Word also tells us that every person also has a divine side. And, God breathed into the body of man that He made out of the dust of the ground, the breath of life. And the Scripture said that man became this living soul. And, Jesus was teaching us that, you know, there is worth to souls. We place worth on a lot of things, and I place value on some of the things that I have. But Jesus wasn't talking about those things. Jesus was talking about the worth of a soul. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18 here and verse 11, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." He had purpose. Listen to what He said. "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. So the Lord is sharing with us the worth of a soul. And, you know, he went on to say that he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the desire of the Lord today, that all should come to repentance. That one soul is worth more than all the world. Your soul this morning is worth more to the Lord than all of the wealth and worth that is in the world today. When I think about my holdings, when I think about the things that are most valued that I have, when I think about the possessions that I value the most, when I think about all of my holdings that I have, I can tell you that my most prized possession of what little I have is my salvation. My salvation means more to me than anything else that God has blessed me with. And because of that, because of the gift of God that God has given unto me, I'll tell you what, I'm heaven bound. I am heaven bound today. I've become, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and 17, he said, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And as the song we sing says, it is true for me, I may not have much here. I have enough. I have pretty much what I need. But I may not have much here by the standards of others. But as the song says, but look what's waiting for me. I don't know about you, but I look forward. I look to what's waiting for me. I have the promise of heaven. I have the promise of where Jesus is that I'm going to. He's promised me a place there. I read about streets of gold and gates of pearl and precious stones that are used to make that place. And I think about what's there. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look around and I can get discouraged a little bit when I look at others and I say, and I know you're not supposed to, but I'm human too. I look around at others and I say, man, how did they get so lucky? Or man, how come I don't have that? But you know what? These things is temporal. Remember what I said? These things are temporal. But I think about the most precious possession that I have, and that's my salvation. Don't misunderstand me. I love my wife. I love my son. I love my granddaughter. I love all of you, but nothing is more precious to me than my salvation that the Lord has blessed me with, and I thank the Lord for it. In salvation, you know, we are the crown of God's creation. I mean, he made a lot of things, but he made us in his image. He made us, as the scripture said, like him. And, you know, that's only possible, again, because of what Jesus did. It's possible because of the forgiveness of sin and the fellowship that I have with God. I was 9 years old. We could take a survey here this morning, and the Lord does not have an age limit. He has saved young, and he saved very old. I happened to be 9 years old when I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I was 9 years old when I was burdened and convicted, and I repented of my sins. And that burden of conviction, that heavy burden, it was lifted from me, and there was a peace and a joy put in my heart. And I've been relying on that ever since to carry me into the portals of glory. And I'm thankful for that fellowship and that relationship that I have with my Lord. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is it's special. It's special. You may be a professed Christian, and I'm a professed Christian, but my profession is special to me, and yours is special to you. I rejoice in yours. I hope you rejoice in mine. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, never been saved, my heart's burdened for you. And I want to rejoice in your salvation, even today, if the Lord is speaking to your heart. It's a wonderful experience. Sometimes it's difficult for us to be able to express it and tell it like we'd like to, but God is good to us and it's special. And There's no other part of God's creation that has the ability to communicate with God like you and I do. And what a blessing it is that God allows us to do that. What a privilege that it is. And, you know, everyone that's here today, we don't like to think about it, but we need to think about our mortality. We need to think about the fact that, you know, one day along, somewhere in the near future, we may have to face the Lord. And, you know, we don't think about, as much as we should, the immortality of the soul. See, the mortality is we're all going to die. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and then the judgment, as the Word of God says. But every person that is born into this world is going to live forever. Now, I'm not talking this morning about the physical man, these fleshly bodies. They're going to die, as I said. It's appointed that a man wants to die. But I'm talking about the spiritual man. I'm talking about the soul of man. You know, we sing a song sometimes that says, the soul of man never dies. And the soul of man never dies. And I'm thankful this morning that somebody took the time to share with me the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that I could hear about what God's Word says, that every person will either live with God or every person will either live apart from God. That's it right there. Are you going to live with God or are you going to live apart from God? The qualifier or the what will help you to be able to respond to that question is, do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? Have you had a personal experience with Him? If you have, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. If you haven't, you're going to spend eternity in hell separated and apart from God. And you know what? It all depends on what choice that you make. And I want to clarify that. When I say choice, what I'm talking about is when you hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you hear the message of the Lord, your response to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, you will either seek the Lord or you will reject the Lord. That's it. You'll either come to Him and trust in Him as your Savior or you'll reject Him. And He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, and spend eternity separated and apart from God. And I sometimes wonder, knowing that we will live forever, either with or apart from God, it should cause every person to examine their holdings. It should cause every person to look and say, you know, what of my treasures are important to me? And as I said, there's nothing in this life that even comes close to being of value to me than the condition of my soul. You know, in this life, I could lose everything that I have. I've lost some things in this life that were precious to me. And I could lose everything else that I have in this life. But you know what? There's one thing that nobody can take away from me, and that's my salvation experience with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so precious to me, because the promises of God are so wonderful. And whatever hardships that we've experienced in this life, those things, they're going to fade from our memory when we be able to enjoy the precious things that God has in store for us. I can tell you this morning, and I'll try to hurry along here, I can tell you this morning that Jesus wants us to invest in our lives. You know, He wants us to invest in our lives, you know, after we have speculated, after we have contemplated, after we have reasoned, as the Scripture said, about gaining the world and losing our souls, and we've had time to examine the worth of a soul. And, you know, Jesus wants us to invest our lives in Him. He wants us to work for Him. He wants us to labor for Him. And I've said many times, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we're now enlisted in the army of God. God uses His children to continue to get the message of truth to the rest of the world. And when we invest our lives in Him, then the Lord can use us in a great and mighty way. And these loved ones that we have, or our co-workers, or our neighbors, whoever it might be, that don't have an experience of salvation, they got to hear it. Somebody's got to ask them about it. Somebody's got to tell them about it. Somebody's got to encourage them about it. And let God's Spirit work in the heart and the soul of that individual until they get to the point where they got to do something about it. And they got to come to the Lord and ask the Lord. I don't think people think enough about the loss. You know, I mentioned earlier about economists. You know, a sensible economist, they think about loss. And And I think we ought to also, in the spiritual nature of man, we need to think about the lost. If you're not right with God, if you've never been saved, if you don't think about the consequences of not turning to the Lord, if you don't think about what's going to happen to those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to have a rude awakening when, as the rich man, you open your eyes in hell, as he said, and he was tormented by the flames. People need education. They need to know things. We do that all the time in our school system. Knowledge is power, and when we understand things, then we can make good and better choices and decisions with our lives. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, there's things that we can lose in life, and it can be good for us. And I'm going to give you an example, because I want us to understand that the loss of a soul, there's no compensation for the loss of a soul. But, you know, in life sometimes, we can lose financially, or we can lose materialistically, or, you know, we can lose profits, and there can come good from that. An example might be somebody's house burns down. What a terrible loss, right? But, you know, sometimes in the burning down of that house and that loss, they're able to build a new home that's a better home, that it's got more of the amenities that they didn't have before. So some good came from that. There's been people that have lost a good job, and they were devastated by that. But you know what? It wasn't long until God provided a better job where they made more money and there was more benefits to it. So good things sometimes can come from losses that we experience. But listen this morning, if you are not saved, there is no compensation for the loss of a soul. If you die in your sins without God, nothing better ever will come of it. Think about that. Nothing ever better will come from it. It will be an eternity apart from God. The loss of the soul, you know, it's irrevocable. And what I mean by that, it's unchangeable. When we pass from this life, it's permanent. The condition you leave this world in is the condition that you will spend eternity, forever, unending time in. If you don't know the Lord in this life, there's no other opportunity when you pass from this life to come to know the Lord. That's why we stress how important it is to know the Lord and to respond to the Lord and trust in the Lord to save while there's still time. We hear preachers say that all the time. You need to think about this while there's time. See, that's the thing about time. Time is unpredictable. There's some things about time we understand. 2 minutes, it's 12 o'clock, and you're ready to go. I understand that. And I'm going to hurry that up in just a moment. But bear with me just for a minute. Some things about time we understand. The other thing about time that we don't understand is just how much time we physically have in this life. I hope we all have long life. I hope we all have God's blessings on our lives. But the question is, if you don't know the Lord, this time thing is a serious thing. Because this time thing is not in your control. We don't control what happens in time. There's a lot of things that happen that we didn't foresee. People in accidents, people in war, all these different things. They didn't think things would be the way they were, but because of what happened at that moment in time, it changed. And what I'm trying to say is that if you're not saved, the Bible says we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We don't know that tomorrow is ever going to come for us. That's why there is always an urgency placed on coming to the Lord now. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, you need to come now, because we don't have a promise and assurance that tomorrow will ever come for us. We need to think about the loss. But I don't want us to just think about the loss. I want us to think about the gain. There's a great loss if you don't come to know Jesus. But there's a great gain if you do. Like I said earlier, I think about, I may not have much here, but look what's waiting for me there. I think about what's waiting for me there. And, you know, there's genuine happiness in the Lord. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's genuine happiness that I'm expecting in heaven, but there's genuine happiness right now, right here in this world, in the Lord, if you're a child of God. I didn't say you'd have everything again, but God does promise that we'll be able to have genuine happiness in our heart and in our lives because we've been saved and we have that relationship. I like what he said in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. More of it. I love life. I'm thankful that I do. But as you've heard many times, you can't begin to enjoy the life that God has for people until you know Him personally. There is a spiritual void in the heart of every individual, and until that void is filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't experience the happiness that God has for you. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, well, I'm not saved, but I'm pretty happy. Happy with what? Happy in what? Can only be what this world has because you don't know Jesus. You don't have anything to compare it to. But those who were lost, who trusted in Jesus and experienced the gift of salvation, they can tell you about some comparisons. They can tell you about how much better and how much greater it is when we have the love of the Lord in our hearts and we're able to share it with those that are around about us. What a blessing it is. If you're unsaved today, I want you to know you can have a relationship with God. You can be spiritually whole, and you can enjoy the abundant life that God wants you to have. You can have better relationships with those that are around about you. But the most important thing is the abundant life that you'll share eternally with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to close in just a moment. People in this life, they're looking to make wise investments. People in this life, they're looking to get that one tip. They're just looking for that one tip that's going to make them rich. You know, they want to hit that mother lode, you know, where they're just set for life. And I think about that, and I think about what's transpiring. Sister Laura, you might correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I was at the store the other day, and I was in line. And the person in front of me had things that they were purchasing, and they were purchasing it with the card that they can get from our government that helps them. And amongst their items that they were buying was lottery tickets. You can buy a lottery ticket with that. I thought, you're kidding me. They're in great need, food, clothing, and they can use what the government gives to buy that. And I thought, my goodness. Their investments are in the wrong thing. And we as God's people need to try to help them to think about investing in their life, not here, you know, not winning that one in a zillion opportunity here. What they really need is they need to win eternally. And the way that they're going to win eternally is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Allen, I want to have a song in just a moment. I'll tell you what, when we think about, you know, we make investments and we want to get dividends on our investments and interest and all those things, there's not a dividend or a better interest that you'll get in this life than what Jesus Christ gives when He saves your soul. I've said many times, the Lord, He's the greatest paymaster there ever was. Can't outgive, can't outdo God. The greatest paymaster there is in many areas of our life. But we got to know Him. Do you know Him today? Have you been saved? Do you have a personal experience with the Lord? What does your spiritual economy or condition look like this morning? I'm saved. As the song says, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I'm saved. No doubt. How about you? Are you saved? Let's stand together. I want to give an opportunity. If God is speaking to your heart this morning and He does that through the Holy Spirit takes the message of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it pricks our heart. And what that pricking is bringing to our hearts and minds an acknowledgement and a knowledge that, hey, I'm not saved. I need Jesus. And that's the Lord drawing you through His love to say, hey, I went to the cross of Calvary. I surrendered my life out of my love for you that you could be brought back into a relationship with my Father. What a love our Lord expressed. I'm not worthy of it. I don't know about you, but I'm not worthy of it. But I'm thankful and grateful for it. And I'm ready to go when the Lord's ready for me. How about you? Are you ready? Brother Allen, let's have a song. Will you come? nowhere to go but to the Lord.